Oh, all right then. Go on, one more time, for old time's sake.
Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Yeah, bittersweet.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough. Seven simple words, a lifetime of entertainment.
Yeah, okay, let's work our way through it. It is Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast companion to issue 534, the Doncaster Rovers game, of course. And, yeah, I mean, we had a celebration, obviously, when we Gord left, because we could see good times occurring. Difficult times now, and as I think, quoting from your good self, Rob, by the way, welcome to your own show. as you say, this is one of the saddest weeks you can remember in over 40 years as a Borough fan. Tough times, I suppose, really.
Yeah, it's been a hard week, I think. Getting back into it now, getting back into the swing of, with a match coming up, but I think it's hit a lot of fans quite hard. It's whether they were in the end Tony Mowbray supporters as a manager or not. I think that it's like a bit like a divorce, isn't it? Separating from somebody who's been such a big part of the club and big part of the history, the recent history, for him to be sacked. It's quite a shock, really.
It's a very poignant photograph of yourself with Tony Mowbray, with the trophy in hand. Obviously, it's the end of the editorial from that point of view. As you say, it's Fly Me to Venus for the moment, at least. We'll see what actually happens. We're being very rude in our devastation here, because we haven't actually welcomed both Matthew Bird to the Fly Me to the Moon area. Matthew, of course, a student at the University of Teesside reading journalism. Hi, Matthew.
Hello.
And we've also got Kaylee Carr, of course, key fan of the one team in the league that have fewer points than a toothpick. That, of course, would be Sunderland. Hello, Kaylee.
Hello.
And we have to break this to the people, because it's a little exclusive to the whole routine. You have actually had a little wager on the result of that non-entity game between, I think, Sunderland and another northern club, the club managed by Alan Pardew, that takes place this weekend.
Yep.
Yeah, and you have gone for
Newcastle.
Oh, there we are. And there's your Sunderland support.
Right. Nothing like faith, is there?
Exactly.
Matthew, you're a West Bromwich Albion fan. It's okay. We can cope with that. We've had to in the past cope with Leeds United fans on the routine.
That was hard to cope.
Very hard. But you have your own memories of Tony Mowbray, don't you? I mean, he hasn't died, obviously, but, you know, in terms of the sort of time he spent with West Brom.
Yeah, I think he did really well for us, like got us promoted and stuff, and then got us relegated and left us. But
were you sad to see him go there? I mean, that was a time where really, obviously, you know, his managerial skills were very much on the ascendant, and he was seen very much as a bright, young, sparkling, dynamic manager.
Yeah, but I think he just wanted to go to Celtic, so I would have kept him definitely.
Yeah,
you all wore masks, as I recall, on the last game of that season away at Blackburn. Yeah. The away end all had Tony Mowbray masks, which must have looked a bit weird.
Yeah.
Did you have your own Tony Mowbray mask?
I wasn't at that game.
Oh, that's okay.
But I would have definitely have liked him to stay. But
I guess the core of the side that he built is still there, actually, at West Brom.
Yeah,
so that says something.
Like Malumbu is one of our best players. Is the Tony Mowbray side.
Mm. There's quite a lot of them, Morrison, people like that.
We heard, obviously, from the press, and you can never take them seriously. Sorry, guys in the press, and obviously but in terms of the booing that took place and that walk of shame that's referred to at the Barnsley match, I presume, Rob, you were not one of those people who was joining in with that.
No, but it was all around me. I was near the front. It's a very strange place. It's not a place to lose for an away team, especially for there was all sorts of ironies there, because we went into that game with Barnsley were rock bottom. They'd only won one game, and as the boos were going on at half time and the walk of shame you talk about, the Barnsley manager was the last off the pitch, and he was looking up into the Borough fans, and he was sort of, he must have been thinking, there but for the grace of God go I, kind of thing. But Tony Mowbray also, he looked shell-shocked when he was, it's a word I shouldn't use, we're going to use later on. He looked shell-shocked when he looked up into the support. But it's a place where a lot of fans can get very close to the tunnel, because it's the only ground I can think of anywhere where the tunnel is next to the away end. And so the fans tend to bomb down to the front and let their feelings
Me none. And obviously they did, which resulted, presumably, so it was a decision that Steve Gibson debated about and looked through. Although, again, speculation, as we'll find in the second part of the programme today, speculation as to who is going to take over will obviously be rife. James Cartwright writes, "It seemed written in the stars that he would guide Middlesbrough to success as a manager, but it sadly never worked out that way. He will still remain a legend on Teesside, one that will be best remembered as the inspirational club captain during the late 80s. Of course, it is his side. I mean, that's it. Adoma,
yeah.
And other players that have actually sort of shined and blossomed. And obviously, Adoma scored a number of fine goals from that point of view. They're still there.
Yeah. It's almost 3 years to the day, isn't it, since he took over from Gordon Strachan and took over Gordon Strachan's side. Yeah. And arguably, it's taken almost 3 years to build his own side from that. Yeah. And somebody else comes in and they've got Tony Mowbray's side.
We now, of course, have the situation where Chris Powell is the longest-serving manager in the Championship.
How long? That isn't very long, is it?
Just about 3.5 years.
Mm.
Interesting.
He's under pressure as well, I would have thought.
Chris Bartley, The Great Escape is my favourite ever film, and Steve McQueen as the Cooler King is probably my ultimate icon in that film. Now, what the devil does that have to do with Tony Mowbray's sacking, I hear you ask? Well, the film represents optimism in the face of stacked-against-the-odds adversity. I wasn't aware Tony Mowbray was ever sort of boarding a train when Steve Gibson said, "Good morning," and he replies, "Good morning," and as opposed to "Guten Morgen."
Yeah.
Different thought there. The Barnsley Watershed, of course, centre page spread, which you put together. Once upon a time, trainee anthropologists were advised not to drive cars but to use public transport if they wanted to study human growth and behaviour, for all human life is there. Certainly was on Saturday's outing to Oakwell. There was bags of available evidence, sufficient for a PhD, a series of books, and enough left over to make a small sailor suit.
Mm.
We can smile a little bit for that. We have a poem from Kadeem Hussain coming up in the programme as well. We've got a look ahead to Doncaster Rovers and a variety of other things. We've got the words of our West Brom guest fan that's actually in the studio to talk about his views, and of course a little mention about how Gisborough Town managed to make an appearance in Fly Me to the Moon.
How can you have confidence in your first aider when all they have is a certificate to say that no one ever failed, when you have no information about their skills, and when, according to the Resuscitation Council, 70% of CPR done in the UK is delivered below standard and inadequate? In an emergency, survival and recovery depend on the help you get before paramedics arrive. Wouldn't you rather have first aiders at work who can really save lives? Life aiders can. Go to lifeaidtraining.co.uk for details.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
160 grams of calcium.
Hang on.
Slow down. And one tablespoon. Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right,
that's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right,
or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989, or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough. Seven simple words, a lifetime of entertainment.
Yeah, indeed. On Monday, Tony Mowbray left Borough as Iron Manager with immediate effect, so writes Master Thomas Barclay. We featured Chris Bartley earlier. Master Thomas Bartley obviously gets his message in as well. Also shocked to find that Mark Venus didn't go with him. I think we would have thought, actually, that the backroom staff would possibly have gone as well, which is interesting, isn't it?
I think somebody has to keep it going, though, don't they?
So, and Colin Cooper, happy with four straight wins on the bounce with Hartlepool, is saying, not me now.
No.
interesting line of things. 3-2 defeat, of course, of Barnsley ended. He comes up with preferences in order of unlikability. Gazcat Mendieta, no. Steve Cottrell. Paul Ince, no. And then he goes on to various other sorts of selections. Of course, in the serious world, Kayleigh, who would you have in charge of Middlesbrough Football Club? Would you say, ask that Mr. De Canio if he fancies doing another trip to the North East?
No.
What about yourself, Matthew? I mean, in terms of that, presumably you wouldn't say, yeah, Steve Clark, he could do you a good job.
No, definitely not.
No, so not Steve Clark, okay.
I'd think someone like Tony Pulis or Neil Warnock.
Yeah, this is spoken by the man who hates Stoke City, of course, so there's a bias with the Tony Pulis there.
But they've both got clubs out of the Championship and stuff, I don't think would Borough fans be happy with Pulis. He doesn't play very attractive football.
Personally, no. Yeah. I don't think Stoke fans were very happy with Tony Pulis towards the end, were they?
Yeah. Interesting in terms of, obviously, the line for that. Clearly, lots of folk available. Lots of names will be sort of mentioned in terms of the whole thing. Do you think a foreign manager might be a possibility that could be considered? I mean, Glivin, obviously, Loudrup's success at Swansea, and obviously there are others around. I don't think Arsene Wenger is interested in sort of
I think we're probably looking at a manager who hasn't got a club at the moment. That's the usual pattern. You avoid compensation and all that sort of thing. Mm. So, there are quite a lot of managers without clubs, obviously, but then again, you might say
should we start a campaign to bring back David O'Leary, then? He can talk about the young boys.
That's right.
Regularly.
Yes.
You know, that's a different thought, then. okay, we've got Doncaster, clearly, that are sort of up and running for the whole thing. But let's mention that other team, Gisborough Town. Gisborough Town, 1, Workington AFC, 4.
The primary man. Oh. It was a big occasion, third qualifying round of the FA Cup. I was debating whether to go to Mask versus Halesowe in town.
Classic.
Or Gisborough, and Mask, of course, beat Halesowe in town. But these were big sort of... it would have been a big giant killing, because a long way above... There's a big gap in the pyramid. And Gisborough did actually take the lead. There was 500 people there, so that was quite a lot around the ground. And the pies and peas did a roaring trade. They were 1-0 up. It's a slopey pitch. It was rainy day, misty. So it looked as if Workington could be in for problems, but they showed their experience, and kicking down the slope in the second half particularly, they were a cut above. But it was a good big occasion, and it's good to sort of support these, the grassroots. And that was, of course, an international weekend, and it's an opportunity to go and see a Northern League team trying to sort of get some progress. It was interesting right at the end, some cup progress, I mean. At the end, the Workington Town fans started singing Wembley. So they're obviously dreaming of Wembley.
Stranger things have happened.
I can't think of any.
It's true. Matthew, do you get sort of excited when the third qualifying round of the FA Cup, you know, emerges each season, the traditional sort of curtain raiser to the old trip to Wembley, or is it a case of you feel it's lost the... Would you sort of say, no, we'll wait until West Brom sort of continue on that basis?
Yeah, that's pretty much... I just wait until West Brom come into it before I get interested in it.
Oh, dear. You see, as a journalist and somebody who's got an interest in sport, you know, Gisborough Town, Workington, surely that's the kind of cutting-edge match you should be sort of saying it's worth reporting on.
Probably should, yeah.
It's where Bill Shankly started out, in management, Workington Town.
Yeah. Do you know who Bill Shankly was?
Yes.
You see? Good, yeah. He managed a very famous club in Merseyside. Do you know which club that might have been?
Liverpool?
Yeah, I see. I didn't ask you, Kayleigh, because I thought it would be embarrassing. Really. It's okay to be priest there. All right, let's move round to the piece of Bow poetry that's come through today. Kadeem the Sane, as I like to refer to him, Cad the Lad, owner of Borough Bookworm, and indeed host of the last edition of the Southside Book of the Month, which I thought went well. Jamaica Inn on that basis is there. I think in terms of this, I'll take the first one down to Who's Next. Then we'll have Matt doing the next thing until As the News Spreads, which leaves yourself, obviously, Rob, to wrap up the whole sequence. So
okay.
I think if we're pretty much for that. You know, the rehearsal has gone extraordinarily well. We've already sort of put in lots of effort for this, but bear with us, because I know it's clearly something which, you know, people do get very excited about, and you know, it's important to sort of work through. So, shell-shocked, stunned, numb, sadness. Words that come to mind after the post on Facebook caught my eye. Mogger's gone. Who's next?
Mogger sacked. It's sad, but should not be surprised. 12 points from 12 games. Mauling by basement boys. Barnsley in the last game. Writing on the wall. Focused on the spirit of Teesside. Match on Friday. Ignored as graffiti. As the news spreads.
Some fans will be shocked. Some might say, he should have gone a long time ago. Hotly debated it will be. For me, a more pressing matter awaits. Poem for the next issue of Flying to the Moon. Deadline is Wednesday, I hope. Note about the Barnsley match, filed away. Poem about Mogger, on the way.
We thought of having Hearts and Flowers on the violins, but in the end thought that would just be overkill. Regardless, we move on. Claire Bowdler. It's a sad way for a Borough legend to depart from the club. It's painful. The same could be said for Liverpool with Kenny Dalglish. That actually sets an interesting precedent. Maybe he may return one day as director of football or something. You know, maybe we haven't seen quite the end of the whole thing. I mean, after all, you know, many people sort of said when Dalglish left Liverpool
for the second time.
Exactly. You know, so there is possibility. So thanks for that. Have to ask the question. In terms of managers, are these a list of sort of possibilities? Martin O'Neill, Fabrizio Ravanelli, Alan Kirbishley, Ian Dowie, Jurgen Klinsmann, Glenn Hoddle, Dave Hearn, and indeed Huxley Pig, and Charlton Heston, who of course died several years ago.
Charlton Heston is probably the most realistic out of those, yeah.
From these cold, dead hands, will you pry these systems from that perspective? Clearly, the general line was that Mowbray was lined up. Well, in fact, we go further back. Strachan was lined up after Gareth Southgate.
Yes, yes, he was.
We started the audio packages from that point of view. Mm. And there was a line that Mowbray would possibly be in the market. I presume if Mark Venus starts off with a 6-0 win tonight, all will be well.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
I think that's absolutely... It also buys the chairman time, doesn't it? If the team keeps winning, it buys the chairman time to have a really good look around, but also to bear Mark Venus in mind. But obviously tonight's important for all sorts of things as well. It's the spirit of Teesside, when hopefully...
Spend a bit more about that, spirit of Teesside.
Yeah, hopefully people stop pulling each other apart, and I think they will. We can come together. We've got the discounted prices tonight, giving out a special limited edition badge. There's James Arthur singing at half-time. There's also VIP places to people who are like sort of pillars of the community who've been asked.
I trust you'll be one of those, Rob.
No, because I'll be selling my fanzine, but I was invited. And
see, that, Matthew, is what you call the consummate professional. You know, he's been invited, but no, he's outside selling the fanzine.
Yeah, and there's an awful lot going on. Frank Boynton Jr. has been in touch with me today. He's the son of Frankie Bam Bam, the superfan who died recently, who got actually had 3,000 people at his funeral. Isn't that incredible?
And you can actually see him, a little tribute there on the wall at this very moment. So, right. Kayleigh, Frankie Bam Bam.
And basically, they're going to put a flag up. Well, first of all, Frank's going to actually present the match ball to the referee. But they're going to put a flag up on the Essam gates, and people should bring a pens along and they can write their own tributes on this flag. So there's an awful lot of things happening tonight, and I think the last I heard it was well over 20,000 tickets sold. So it'd be the biggest crowd of the season. Of course, half terms, that the kids have broken up for half term. So it's a bit of a parallel to last season, if you recall, on a Friday night when we played Sheffield Wednesday and we absolutely hammered them, and it was the biggest crowd and best atmosphere in a long time. So this would be like very much the spirit of Teesside tonight.
And we see that Middlesbrough chairman Steve Gibson has actually said caretaker boss Mark Venus is a possible permanent replacement to Tony Mowbray.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's all sorts of things that could be there. We're in the middle of Discover Middlesbrough. Some cynics would say, I didn't even realise it had been lost. Are you aware of Discover Middlesbrough, Matthew?
No, I'm not.
See, that's a West Brom supporter. Never discovered Middlesbrough. Kayleigh, were you familiar with Discover Middlesbrough?
I was, yeah.
No,
I've got the brochure.
She's got the brochure. So
good. Well done.
Still time, of course, to actually take part in this, because you've got a tour of the Riverside Stadium, Matthew, I think, as a West Brom supporter. This is for you. £1. I know students have it tough these days, but £1 will bring him what delight, Rob, in terms of Middlesbrough Football Club.
Yeah, you'll see that all the behind-the-scenes stuff from the changing rooms to the director's box to...
Have you ever been to the Riverside, Matthew?
Everything.
Yes, so came in when Mowbray was our manager and we beat them 5-0.
Thanks.
It's just effortless, wasn't it, really? Mm. You know, it's meaningless. But you didn't get behind the scenes then, did you?
No.
No, well, you see, you can actually go behind the scenes for that and see...
That pound?
Yeah, pound. Yes. But you'd probably best to book ahead, because it'll be a lot of people wanting to do it. It's Monday, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. starting at the club shop, and you can actually email supporters@mfc.co.uk or indeed call on 08444 996 789. That's 08444 996 789. And obviously, if you're listening to this in November, it's pointless. Gone. You know. I mean, some people like to do that.
They still do tours, but you'd have to pay a bit more than a pound.
Exactly. How do people actually subscribe to the paper edition of Fly Me to the Moon, Rob?
Good question. Probably the easiest way is to go, if you were able to, is to go to the website, which is www.fmttm.com, and look for subscribe. Or you can write to Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brent Null Centre, Jilks Street, Middlesbrough, TS1 5AP, or email fmttmadmin@gmail.com, and I shall fix it up for you.
And of course, Sir Alex Ferguson is still available.
He is indeed. That could be good, wouldn't it?
Mike Phelan has been mentioned.
As Alex Ferguson as director of football, with Mike Phelan as his coach.
Thinking, you know, I mean, there's a pattern. I mean, maybe it's something he possibly would think, well, he owes us something after Gary Pallister all those years ago.
Yeah.
You know, a possibility could connect there. So Mike Phelan is also up there together with Alex McLeish, I think, who's been mentioned. Kayleigh, what's your prediction for Middlesbrough versus Doncaster Rovers?
I've no idea.
Fine.
As long as you don't put money on Doncaster.
Okay.
What about yourself, Matthew Bird?
I think Middlesbrough will win. 2-0, 2-1.
2-0, 2-1. Right. I think I'll say 5-1 to Middlesbrough.
I like that. But I'll go for 3-0 to Middlesbrough.
Yeah, there you are, you see. Solidity worked our way through that. Time now to obviously bring on board our West Brom fan to actually join in those seven words which are so significant in terms of the whole system. It is Fly Me to the Moon, Fly Me to Venus, and so on and so forth. There is still a spirit of Teesside. Kayleigh, have you prepped Matthew for this? Does he know what
Not
he needs
this
to say?
Bit, no.
No, so you prepped for
I
all
always
the
get
other...
it wrong. So
you
talk,
you
no
talked about
reading.
The other sort of bits and pieces, you know, the sort of five words that need to be said to actually wrap up the whole sequence. Matthew, are you ready for this?
Yep.
It's six words, you're quite right. Yeah, that's, thank you. Yeah. A one, a two, a three.
Come on, Borough.
Oh, we didn't get that, did we? Yes, it's supposed to be said together. Yeah. All right,
all
it's okay.
Everyone
yes,
together.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A one, a two, a three.
Come on, Borough,
and up the Borough.
Come on, Borough, and up the Borough. Seven simple words, a lifetime of entertainment.